For our scripture reading, we turn to Daniel chapter 5. The text we consider consists of the first six verses, which I won't reread. But we will read the chapter of Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And now his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this passage that we consider tonight, we consider a passage that many are aware of to a certain degree. Sometimes people will use the phrase, somebody has seen the handwriting on the wall. This is the passage speaks of a hand writing on the wall. And it's important for us to think about what is indicated in this passage. One of the things we take note of in this passage is the pride of man and God's judgment upon proud man. That's one of the things that certainly is set forth in the book of Daniel. Earlier in the history, in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the pride of Nebuchadnezzar was seen. And the judgment of God that came on the proud Nebuchadnezzar. And now we see Belshazzar, who's referred to as the son of Nebuchadnezzar, and we see his pride. And we see the judgment of God that comes upon him. And that night, was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Certainly it brings to us the fact that we know that in the last days, we think of the coming Antichrist, we think of the anti-Christian world power, and we think of the fact that what will characterize people in the last days and what will characterize those who would be the final Antichrist will be pride. The pride of sinful man. And of course, we clearly see that in our own day. A sinful man exalts himself. And how people will blaspheme the name of God. We recognize also, of course, that we also have to fight against our own pride. When we see in this story about the pride of Belshazzar, we also recognize our own sinful pride, our own tendency to exalt ourselves. Our own tendency to try to show off. And we recognize, whether it be outward or in our own thoughts, we have a tendency to exalt ourselves and have a very high view of ourselves, and we put others down. We want to exalt ourselves. It's important that we not think of that. It's important that we do think of that sin as serious as it is. And as we see the scriptures speak about the sin of pride, it's important that you and I also humble ourselves before the Almighty God. This passage also speaks of the sinful use of wine. We recognize that wine is something that we can use profitably in moderation. And the Bible speaks about that. But we recognize also the kind of drinking parties that are characteristic of the world and the kind of things that go on at such parties of the world. And we warn about this, and we warn our children about this, our young people, our young adults. But we recognize also as we grow older too, it's still the case that we must constantly be on guard against this sin. We also take note of the fact that God executes his judgment. We know that the scriptures speak about the final judgment that will take place. But we also recognize that God executes his judgments also in this life, as we see here. And we see the judgment that came upon proud Belshazzar. And as we think of that, we think of other instances too where we see this very idea. You see somebody proud and lifted up and exalting himself. You see someone blaspheming the name of God, and then you see the quick quickly the judgment of God that comes upon them. And there's a number of references in Scripture to that. We see those that, though they know that those who commit such wicked deeds are worthy of death, they not only continue doing them, continue to walk in them, but they also, as we read in the last verse of Romans chapter 1, that says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's Romans 1 verse 32. And we see how the judgment of God that comes on the proud, the impenitent, who continue on in their sin. We also take note of the fact in this passage that God delivers His people. God had spoken about how His people would be in Babylon for 70 years. And His people would be delivered. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Similar to what God had said about the Egyptians when God told Abraham that his seed was going to go to this strange land and they were going to be afflicted. And then afterwards, the judgment would come upon that nation and that God's people would come out. So we read here of the judgment of God, that we read about the fact that they were going to spend some 70 years in Babylon. God had told them that. And yet also was telling them about the fact that when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. And so when we read in this passage that we look at here, when we read about the judgment of God that came upon Belshazzar, we also think of the coming judgment, that Christ our Lord is coming as judge. We look forward to that. We see the wickedness that abounds. We know what the Bible tells us about the coming Antichrist and the anti-Christian world power and the false church. We think of the coming of Christ, the judge who will deliver us. And we humble ourselves before God. We confess our own sins and are constantly fighting against our own sins, looking for Christ, the return of Christ, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. We consider this passage under the theme, a handwriting on the wall. We consider the pride, secondly, the judge, and thirdly, the Deliverer. First, we read in this story about the pride of Belshazzar. We read that he took the vessels of God's house that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar. It says, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. And we read of that. We read of vessels being taken, for example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. In verse 10, for example, we read, when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar, this is at chapter 36, verse 10 of 2 Chronicles, And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 18, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And then in Ezra 1, verse 7, we read, in the days of Cyrus, later, when they return, also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. And verse 11 of that chapter, all the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400, and so on. Well, Belshazzar takes these vessels. Takes vessels. It says he takes vessels, bring the golden vessels and silver vessels which his father had taken out of the temple, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And so they bring the golden vessels, and it says his prince, that he, the king, his princes, his wives, and his concubines drink in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Clearly, we see that Belshazzar desired to dishonor Jehovah God. We see his hatred for God. And so he's going to take the vessels from the temple, and he and his prince's wives and his concubines, they're going to drink in them. He has this feast and drank wine before the thousand. And as though, you know, he's victorious over God. You know, they have taken Jehovah's people. They brought them into captivity. And he's going to now take these vessels and he's going to praise the gods of gold and silver, of brass and iron. And as Daniel says a little later, he says, the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. We clearly see how he was hardened in sin. You know, in the book of Daniel, there's a number of times when you talk about Nebuchadnezzar. We see the wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar in the history repeatedly. There's a number of times where we read that afterwards, like when Daniel interprets that image, the dream of the image, and we read that in verse 47 of Daniel 2, this is what Nebuchadnezzar said about Jehovah God. Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said after Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Then we, in chapter 3, we read about the three in the fiery furnace. And then when you get to the end of that chapter, in verse 28, we read, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and so forth. And then in verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every man, that every people, nation, and language should speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said, and repeatedly in Daniel 5, the relationship between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, his son, or perhaps grandson, but of the line of Nebuchadnezzar. Repeatedly, it speaks of him as the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar had said. And then Daniel mentions, when Daniel explains this dream, that points out Belshazzar's impenitence, how he's hardened in sin. When Daniel explains not the dream, but right before he's going to explain the writing on the wall, that we read that Daniel said this to Belshazzar. He speaks about what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, in verse 18, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, majesty and glory and honor. And then in verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up, when he was proud, when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and that's referred to in the previous chapter. And his dwelling with the wild asses, they fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, and so on. And when that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, after that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, we read of what Nebuchadnezzar said in chapter 4. In verse 34 of chapter 4, it said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will. And then, now jumping down to the last verse, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That's what Nebuchadnezzar had said. And Daniel brings out that Belshazzar knew this. In verse 22 it says, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, and now we're back to Daniel 5, verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You knew this. And yet you have not humbled your heart. Instead, you've taken these vessels, and you've praised the gods of silver and gold and so on, and the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Clearly speaking of the pride of Belshazzar, the impenitence of Belshazzar. When we see the king of Babylon, we know that the scriptures speak about the coming Antichrist. The Antichristian kingdom and the coming Antichrist. We know 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of him as who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the book of Revelation speaks similar language about the pride, about the blasphemy, the blasphemous words that are spoken. And we know that we live in the last days. And we expect that it'll be the case that we hear more and more blatantly words against God, against what God's word says, against the people of God. And when we see the pride of man, when we see the blasphemy, people blaspheming the name of God, we're to see the seriousness of the sin. And when people continue on in the sin, knowing that they that do such things are worthy of death, they continue to do them. They continue to walk in sin. Some people may be aware of certain stories in the Bible about the judgments of God that have come upon the impenitent. And yet they continue on in their sin. And they refuse to repent. Now we know also, and we take note also here, that in connection with this event, we also read of the wine. And it says, whilst he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels and so on. They drank wine, verse 4, and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and so on. Now you think of this feast, and you think of the contrast between the parties of the world and the feast of the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks about the feast of the Lord. Speaks of the people of God gathering together to worship God, to praise His name. We think of the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, and with joy and gladness in our soul, we praise and thank the name of our God. We glorify Him. We thank Him for the deliverance we have in Christ. We praise Him for saving us from our sins. He's delivered us. He sent His Son who laid down His life for us. We hear the comforting words that we are forgiven. All our sins are forgiven. That we're righteous in Christ. That He delivers us from our sins. And we praise Him. We exalt His name. We recognize how that stands in great contrast to the kind of gatherings of the world. We think of those that, you think of this feast. Who was there? What characterizes the people there? This man with his molten, with wives and concubines. And you think of the people of the world as they live in their luxury and how they speak against God. Then we also think of the fact that parties of the world that are characteristic of the world and that we warn you young people and young adults that we don't party like those of the world. We see what the world does. We see how the world with their parties and with their dancing and with, you think of the kind of character things that go on. The kind of language that is characteristic, that is such gatherings, that the wickedness of which they speak, the sins of which they laugh about, the drunkenness that is often characteristic. It's often the use of wine and alcohol, beer and whiskey or whatever kind, not in moderation. You think of how often fornication goes along with it as well? And how their people are blatantly doing that which God says not to do. And when you look at it that way, you realize that you think of how the parties of the world, what goes on is that people gather together and they blatantly do that which God has said not to do. That although he hasn't forbidden the use of wine, he has forbidden the use of it not in moderation. And he's clearly spoken against the blasphemy and the filthy language and the fornication. And yet such characterize the gatherings of this world and the seriousness of joining with them and doing the same kind of things that those of this world do. Instead, we're to walk apart from this world, and we're together to walk with our God and to praise him and exalt his name, to show our thankfulness to him for our salvation. Well, the judgment we read here about, the judgment of God that came on Belshazzar. And it says, in the same hour. It is interesting that we read that word, that phrase rather, in the same hour with Nebuchadnezzar. The king had exalted himself and had said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? That's what Nebuchadnezzar had said. And then in verse 33 of chapter 4, it says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. Quickly, the judgment of God came upon him. That was Nebuchadnezzar. And now with Belshazzar, as he's doing this, it says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick. And of course, we read at the end of the chapter, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, and so on. The quickness of the judgment of God. He saw fingers. Can you imagine that? You're at this party, and all of a sudden you see on the wall, you see that on a wall, the fingers of a man's hand. It says, there came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. There's a candlestick there, and perhaps at night, it says that the king saw the part of the hand that wrote in verse 5. So there were these fingers of a man's hand, and the king saw it. He saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then we read in verse 6, then his countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. And it says, the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one another. And he calls out, he cries aloud to the astrologers, to soothsayers, the Chaldeans. And he wants them to read this writing. We think of the judgment that quickly comes upon the proud, upon the impenitent. We think of the impenitents. You know, there are places where we read about, you know, the word being brought to somebody like a Nebuchadnezzar or somebody like a Belshazzar. You think of how Belshazzar, he wants the writing interpreted, and then the writing is interpreted. But you don't read of his repentance. You don't read of him crying out to God for forgiveness and deliverance. You think about a number of times, and it is good to see that too, to point that out. A number of times where you read about the word of God being brought to a person about the judgment that's going to come. Like you take King Saul, for example. That he's told about the judgment that's going to come. But they don't repent. They hear it. They're told. There's no repentance. You know, doing something outwardly like Belshazzar does, he commands that they clothe Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and make a proclamation that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. They may do something external like that. But yet there's not real repentance. You know, among the world, our Belgian confession rightly says that without faith, without justifying faith, that's a gift of God, without it, we'd never do anything out of a love to God. But only out of self-love or fear of damnation. That's what Belgic Confession Article 24 says. If we didn't have faith, which God has given us, we'd never do anything out of love for God. Out of self-love, fear of damnation, but never out of a love for God. Though they hear about the judgment of God, they still do not turn. That would be true of us too. Repentance is a gift. Faith is a gift. You and I too, though we would hear, though we would be taught about the judgment of God that comes upon the sinner, we just continue on. We just continue on, just like those of the world do. And even if you tell them, even if you show them from Scripture, you know, you talk to somebody of the world, and so though you show them from Scripture, and show them repeated examples of things of the judgment of God that came upon the proud. Like showing this passage here. And though they see that what you're talking to them about and what you're pointing out to them, they're not going to turn. They're going to continue on in their wickedness. And they know they're going to die. They know that. They continue on in their life of wickedness. It's only by the grace of God that when we hear about the judgments of God and when we hear about pride and when we think of the parties of the world and how we're to eat or drink or whatever we do to the glory of our God, we recognize, we think of our own sins and we humble ourselves before God. And we turn from our own wicked ways, our own pride. You know, for example, when you think of his pride and you think of the judgment that comes, well, you think in our own life, there's times where we've said something that was proud. And quickly we feel convicted about what we just said. Or what we just thought. Even what we just thought. We have a proud thought and we're enjoying thinking this thought where we're exalting ourselves above others. And then we start thinking about how horrible that thought is. And we're ashamed of our thought. Nobody even knows it. No human being. We know what we thought. and we confess our sins. And we think of how we have sinned against our God, against our Lord. We think of our God and our Lord, who is our Redeemer. And we come to God and we humble ourselves before Him. We confess with sorrow our own sins and ask that God would forgive us of our own sinful pride. We're thankful that He doth discipline us. You think of how, like Jesus, who turned and looked at Peter. Now, Jesus is both God and man. And when Peter sinned the way he did, and denied with an oath, then Jesus turned to him. And then we read that Peter went up and wept bitterly. Well, when we read that story, we think of how we've sinned against our Lord who died for us. And we confess with sorrow our own sin, our own pride. And as we say in Lord's Day 33, that we more and more hate our sins and flee from them. In this story, we read about the judgment of God. We also think about the fact that the one who's coming is our deliverer. When you see, think of that hand, and you see the part of the hand that wrote, the fingers as they're writing on that wall, and you think of what that would be viewed by Belshazzar as he would see that. You think of how terrifying it would be for Belshazzar. You think of how comforting it is to the child of God that the one who is coming is our Redeemer, the Deliverer. As we read in Jeremiah 25, it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon, and so on. God had said He was going to punish. Even as earlier He had said He was going to punish the Egyptians. We see, and now to see, this is what God said was going to happen. God had made known that the judgment of God was going to come upon the Babylonians. Even the previous parts of the book of Daniel speak about that. That speak about how there was going to be the Babylonians, and then there was going to be the Medes and the Persians and so on. That Babylonian kingdom was going to come to an end. That Christ was going to come. Christ was going to come and there was going to be the destruction. So when we see this, when we think of this, we think of the fact that the one who's coming is our Lord. And we see the signs of His coming. That in our own day, we see the signs of the coming of Christ. We see the wickedness that abounds. We see what characterizes the last days. We think of what characterizes the anti-Christian world power. And what will characterize it. And we see already the pride of sinful man and how people blatantly speak against the Word of God today, blatantly reject what the Scriptures teach and speak against those that would insist upon what the Scriptures teach. We see the signs of our Lord's coming. When we see those signs, we also think of the fact that of who it is that's coming. that the one who is coming is the same one who died for us. As our confessions beautifully put that when it talks about the final judgment. It says when we think about the final judgment, we think of the fact that the judge is going to be the same one who died for us. That's who the judge is going to be. That's the one who's coming. The one who's coming is our Redeemer. He laid down His life for us. He paid for all of our sins. He's the one that is coming. We look forward to His return. And we know that before He comes, things will get worse and worse. We see that repeatedly in the Scriptures, that idea that the judgment comes. You think of like the Amorites, one of the Canaanite nations. And in Genesis 15, we read that it would be later, God told Abraham it would be later that they would come in and they would defeat the Canaanites. The iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. But the day would come when the iniquity of the Amorites was full and God's people would come in and they would receive the land. And you think of the Egyptians and how they became hardened in their sin. Went deeper into sin. And then you think of the deliverance out of Egypt. So when you look at Babylon, that as God's people had been there for some time in the kingdom of Babylon, as time goes on, now you get to this point and you see the hardening in sin. And then the judgment. Well, so we recognize in the day in which we live that there will be this hardening in sin, even as Jesus has told us it would be. And that we see the signs of our Lord's coming, that our Lord is coming soon. We often speak that way to one another too. We talk about the signs of Christ coming. We talk about the wickedness that abounds. We talk about the false teachings, the false doctrines that are so prevalent, the apostasy in our own day. We talk about people the working together of the nations and of the false churches working together against God's that are against God, the hatred for us God's people, and then we say, our Lord's coming soon. We talk about these things, and we talk about how it's going to get worse. We also think, our Lord's coming. He's going to deliver us. He's going to set us free. We already have the beginning of our deliverance. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin. We have been freed. We have the comfort of knowing that we're righteous in Christ. We have the beginning of the new obedience. We delight to do what's to the honor of our God, yet we still have a sinful nature. And we look forward. We look forward to the complete deliverance, which we know is coming soon. May we humble ourselves before our God. May we walk in humility before Him. May we use the things that He gives us rightly, to His honor, to His glory, praising Him, exalting His name, staying apart from this wicked world, speaking about the judgment to come, and warning people and telling them to repent, to believe in Jesus Christ. May we together praise the name of our God as we wait for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for Thy grace. Thankful, O Lord, for Thy mercy. When we think of Thy judgments, we think of the mercy that Thou hast shown us. We think of the judgment that we deserve. When we think of the everlasting punishment that we deserve, when we think of our own pride and self-righteousness, We're so thankful that Christ suffered for us and that he has paid the price. Father, grant us the grace not that we may not exalt ourselves, that we may walk in true humility before thee, that we may walk apart from this world, that we may magnify the name of thee, our God. We and our children and our grandchildren, grant us that grace, we pray. Bless all thy saints, forgive our sins, and deliver us from evil. For Christ's sake, amen.